Welcome to Tech Days TV. My name is Dave Lloyd, and I'm here to take a look at the new Team Explorer with you for Team Foundation Server 2012. So let's go take a look here. For those of you that are used to the old version, you know, where you can bring in multiple projects, and you're kind of just seeing a tree view look into the data that's in your Team Foundation Server, you're going to see a big change in the new Team Explorer, and I'm going to take you in and show you some of that a little bit at a time. So let's start out with getting connected. Let's talk about the team projects and the collection and the settings on those, areas and iterations, project alerts, all those kinds of things that an administrator might do and how you'd find those in the new Team Explorer. So I'm going to just move that out of my way and we'll... So I've got a copy of Visual Studio 2010 with the 2010 Team Explorer connected, and I've got a copy of the new 2012, Visual Studio 2012 with the new 2012 Team Explorer connected. Now, you'll notice it looks quite a bit different, right? In the old version, you know, here's my collection, here's my projects, and within those projects I can get at work items and builds and a bunch of different, you know, things. I can also, if I had them connected here, I could get at reports and I could get at documents and SharePoint. It looks a little bit different though over here. You know, what we've got now is my work. Well, that's a different concept, so we'll talk about that in a minute. Requesting a code review, very interesting. We'll find out what that's all about too. Our pending changes. So this is actually the new pending changes window, and we'll take a look at that soon. Here's my link to get to Source Explorer. So, you know, that's very similar to me double-clicking on the Source Control Explorer in 2010. Instead, I just click on this link right here, and it takes me to the Source Control Explorer. I've got my work items, so we'll take a look at that. Builds, okay, that looks to be about the same. The web access, okay, that's a little bit different having a link to it right here. And then I've got settings. But I don't have any... it used to be that I would right-click on my collection to get at collection settings, and if I wanted to get at project settings, I'd right-click on the project, and that would take me to project settings. But things have changed a bit now. So I've got this list of items, and actually if you click right here on the project that I'm on, the other thing you'll notice, you know, before I go in there, is that I'm looking at my Silver Cinema project. Over here, I've got my Silver Cinema project, and I've got my Scrum project. Both of them open at the same time. It appears they're not both open here. But if I just click on this project name and go to my projects and my teams, I can see all the projects that I have open or that I'm connected to currently from my Team Explorer. So if I go to Connect Team Projects and open up that dialog, it's going to be familiar to you. It pretty much looks the same. And I can select my the collection and then the projects that I want to connect to. Spinning away here, and I'm not sure exactly what's taking it so long, but we'll give it a second to come up. It's usually pretty quick. There we go. So you'll see I've got my server like before. There's my default collection, and then here are all the projects that I'm connected to. So if I was to turn off the CMMI project, for example, and connect back into my Team Explorer, when I click on my project and go down to projects and my teams, you'll see I've just got the two projects that I selected. Now, I can flip between those just by picking the one here, or I can create a new one by going to New Team Project right here, and it takes me to the new Team Project Wizard. So one of the things I promised to show you is where did the settings go? Well, if we go down to the Settings option, right down here, you'll see I've got all my Team Project settings and I've got my Collection settings. So if I want to look at group membership for the collection, that's this link right here, group membership for the team project right here. Here's my process template manager, source control settings for the whole collection, as well as source control settings for just the team project. And some of these things, as you can see, look just like they did in the previous version. It just opens the same dialog it did before, not a lot of difference. Some of them, however, you're going to notice are a lot different. So if I jumped into iterations, for example, you'll notice it doesn't take me to an areas and iterations dialog like it used to. What it does is it takes me to a web page, which is the collections control panel. And I can set a bunch of different things on this through this web page. I can set up my iterations, my alerts, my areas. I can do some security settings. I can do a bunch of things. As soon as it opens up here, there we go. So I've got my so that took me, because I picked iterations, it took me straight onto the iterations tab. And one thing you'll notice, I'll just point out really quick, is that you can now set dates on iterations, which is a really nice feature, because now that you've got that extra data on an iteration that says when the iteration begins and ends, the whole Team Foundation server can actually send you or tell it. It presents stuff to you that's meant for that particular iteration based on the date. So really nice feature there. So I've got my iterations. I've got my areas here. Areas haven't really changed a whole lot. Same concept. A little different interface for adding them, though, as you can see. So I can go down and expand out my Silver Cinema and look at all the different areas within it. Alerts is another one that I wanted to just show you really quickly. And alerts has changed. Now, for those of you that set up alerts previously, you remember going to a project and go to project alerts and opening up that dialog with the handful of project alerts that I can set up. You know, there wasn't very many there. If you wanted to set up more alerts, you either had to use the biz subscribe command line tool, or you had to download the power tools and use the alerts explorer to add, which was a good tool. It worked well, but I think it's getting a little bit better now. So if I go into alerts, you'll see that I can actually set up alerts. I can set up team alerts, and I can set up alerts that are specifically for me, and it's just, it's a lot like using, if you're familiar with using the Alerts Explorer from the Power Tools in 2010, then you'll be very familiar with doing this. It's just setting up a query. But it's very nice to be able to set up alerts for a whole team and kind of control that and say, okay, the team needs to know when a new product backlog item has been added or when a task is has been put into the system. So that kind of stuff can all be done from one administrative place on behalf of the whole team. Let's take a look at the basic navigation and how we would get around in inside the Team Explorer. Because the Team Explorer in 2012 has become much more intuitive and it actually changes and moves around on you as you do different things, it actually completely changes its look and feel. They've given us a really nice little navigation or few navigation techniques to be able to get around in there easily. So let's take a look at those really quickly here. So I'm just going to jump back over. I'll actually make that my full screen now for a minute. So you'll notice I left myself on settings, for example. So we've got the home button right here, the little picture of the house. I can take that and just take me back to home. So no matter where I get into, if I get to somewhere and I'm thinking, oh, I'm not really sure, you know, how I even got to here, and I just want to jump back to the beginning and go to builds, then I can just hit that home button and jump back there. You can also, at any time, you know, click on the project and pull up this menu of sort of the home sections. These are all the navigation points from the home page of Team Explorer. You've also got back and forward buttons like a browser, so you can jump back and forth and, you know, go to the last page you were on, go back to the page you were on before, and I've got a refresh button here so I can refresh it if somebody's made a change to something and say, oh, do you see my code request? And, you know, maybe I don't yet, I haven't refreshed. So there are really easy ways to get around in here, and, you know, if you start moving around in that, you know you've got the home button you can always get back to, and you've got your navigation buttons for jumping back and forth as well. Work items are pretty much as you would expect them to be. So there's a link right on the Team Explorer to get to work items. You can get to queries, you can set up shared queries or my queries. That doesn't seem to have changed too much yet. I don't know if there's changes coming still, but in the current version that I've got, they're still the same. There is a new work item search, though, that's quite nice. People asked for, you know, I need a way to be able to find a work item pretty quickly without having to build a whole query to get to go after it. So they've added that in for us. Let's take a look at that really quick here. So as you can see, work items, you know, if I click on work items, the link, it takes me to a tree view list of my queries and the shared queries that the team has. I can drag queries up into my favorites so that I can have a list of my favorite queries, not unlike we used to have in the my favorites in the old Team Explorer. I can create a new query clicking on this link. The query editor looks pretty much the same as it did before. So building a query is pretty much the same thing. You got the same types. And, you know, and the work item fields might be a little bit different depending on the template you're using, but the whole process of creating a query is going to be the same. I was taught. Oh, let's go back here. Go back to home. You can also jump in to create a new query right off the main page. So you can jump straight into there if you want to create a query, and then when you save it, you'll save it as either a my query or a shared query. You'll notice this work item search at the top here. So I can do, you know, I can put in things like put in an A for assigned to, or a C for created by, or an S for state. So I could say build a query that says, you know, show me everything that's assigned to me, and it just changes my whole Team Explorer to be a result set of work items that are based on the query that I put up into that little search text box. And, you know, and I can add more things to it, right? I can say assign to me, and where the state is active. And I can find out anything that's assigned to me with the state of active, and just shows up in my list. So it's a nice little quick way to be able to build queries, and you'll see that it caches them and saves them for you. So I can look for anything with the word silver in it that's been assigned to me. And there's also, if you hit the little drop down on here, there's some a little bit of help here for grabbing different query types and putting them in. So if I wanted to say where, you know, if I wanted to know how to do state, I just go like that and say active, and away I go. So that's a nice little feature as well. Another concept we should probably talk about it before we go too much further is local workspaces. This isn't really about Team Explorer, but I want to show you how Team Explorer kind of deals with it and handles these. What you're allowed to do now is have be able to work disconnected from the server. So previously in Team Foundation Server, you kind of always had to be connected to the server. It didn't really do a great job of monitoring what was going on in your local disk and keeping track of that for you so that it could update to the server, you know, like some other version control tools. So now you've got the option of either working locally or connected to the server all the time. So you can still do work just like you did before if that's the way you like to, but if you are one of the types that prefers to work on your local workspace and then be able to connect to the server and do that commit up, then you can do that. So let's take a look at what that looks like in the new Team Foundation server. So first of all, I'm going to jump back over to my home and go into Source Control Explorer, and just to show you that when you connect up now, when you upgrade your Team Foundation server from 2010 or 20 or 2008 to 2012, one of the things that it's going to do is it's going to say to you, hey, do you want this workspace to be converted to a local workspace? So it will default to keep it as a server workspace like it was before, but you can set it. It'll ask you, say, hey, do you want to go to local? And you can do it right then and there. So you'll see that my workspace is set to be local. So it converted my workspace to be local for me just by asking me a question about it, and then it went ahead and did it. So let's take a look at, I'm just going to go to my pending changes a minute, and you'll see that, you know, I don't really have anything going on right now. I'm not working on anything. Let's just jump into one of the apps that I've got in Source Control, and I'm going to actually get out of Visual Studio. I'm going to come out into the Windows Explorer and make a change to the code. So I'm gonna edit this file using Notepad. So if what I want you to do now is just keep an eye over here on my pending changes window as I make a change to this and hit save. So I'm just making a change to a file through Notepad, and you'll see right away it's included in my pending changes. So it, because I've got a local workspace, it's monitoring my local drive, and it's adding immediately. It's saying, oh, well, they made a change to that, so they want to check that out. So you don't have to do it through Visual Studio anymore, which is great for all the people out there that aren't using Visual Studio to do development and still want to use Team Foundation Server as their source control tool. You'll also notice, you know, if I go and add a text doc, let's just add a file here. So I'm going to just say add a text document. So I've added something to my workspace, and you'll notice over here on my changes, I've got a detected change. So it doesn't know for sure whether I want to add that file or not. Did I just add it to my disk, or do I want to? But it's keeping track of these things for me, and it's saying, well, you know what, I detected a change. So I can click on that detected changes, and it says, oh, there's a new document.txt. I want to promote that. So I can either, you know, get rid of it, or I can promote it up to being an add. So now I get my little plus sign, and that's ready to be added to source control when I check in my changes. So that's just a little bit of a sample of how local workspaces work, and how you can you can very easily work with Team Foundation Server, but outside of Visual Studio. So we're working our way towards the My Work tab, but I just wanted to fill you in on a couple other little things before we get there, because I think it'll help it make a lot more sense. Let's talk a little bit about code reviews. You can now request a code review from inside Team Explorer, and it's built right in. A lot of people built these using all kinds of different mechanisms, using shell sets and customizing their own work items for them. You know, there's lots of different ways that I've seen people do it. So it's nice that it's built in. So you can request a code review, and the cool thing is, because you're connected to Team Foundation Server, not only are you sending someone some code to review, but you're also sending them the work item that you're working on for that code, so they get an understanding of what it is you're trying to do. So let's take a look at how we do this. Let's flip over into our Team Explorer again. And if you look in the right underneath My Work, there's a request a code review. So I've actually got some code checked out that I'm working on. I've got a little bit of a code change, and I'm working on a particular. I've told the system that I'm working on a particular work item, and I'm going to show you how you do that in a minute when we get to My Work. So what I want to do at this point is request a code review. So I just click on the request code review link there, and right away I get my Team Explorer changes so that I can request a code review. So what I want to do is add in who I want to do this code review. So I hit the drop down, and it's going to give me a list of the people on the team that are set up in Team Foundation Server. So I'm going to pick Barry to do the review, and I can actually have multiple reviewers, right? I could add another reviewer and say, well, I also want to send this to Deb to review. So I can send this same code review request to multiple people, and maybe for different reasons. Maybe one of them does a security review, one does a performance, and one's just looking at code. It actually, notice how it actually puts in here in this description the title of the task that I'm working on right now. I can also select the area of the application that I'm working in, and I can put in the description. Hey guys, can you please review this code for me? So that's great. It tells me what the related work item is right here, and then I can go ahead and submit the request. Now that's putting it out, pushing it out into Team Foundation Server. There are code review work items in Team Foundation Server, but they're special work items. For any of you that are familiar with customizing a process template, if you go up here and say, what kind of work item would I like to create? Well, there are certain types, right? There's a bug, a task, a product backlog, an impediment, and a test case. But you'll notice that a code review isn't here, and that's just because it's a special type of work item that doesn't show up in that drop-down list. Feedback request is another one that shows up like that. And there are certain ways to create them, but you don't just create one on its own. It has to be in context of something. And in this case, it's in the context of a code change that I'm making. Now, if I go back over to go back to home, and I'll go into My Work for just a second, and you'll notice if I go down to code reviews and requests, let's just close all this up for one second, you'll see I can see my code review there. So I can filter this list to show me outgoing requests. So there's all the code reviews that I have pending that I'm waiting for people to do for me. I can look at incoming requests. So if anybody requests a code review from me, it'll show up here. Or I can look at both at the same time and see all the different code reviews that are going on right now. Great new feature. Nice to have it built right into the Team Foundation Server and Team Explorer for us. So I keep promising I'm going to talk about My Work, so here we go. Let's talk about My Work. So this is kind of a new concept, and this is where it gets fairly intuitive. It lets you sort of place out ahead what you're going to work on, and letting everyone know that this is what you're working on. So you can actually select work items before you start changing any of the code. So, in previous versions, you would make changes to the code, and then on check-in, you would select a work item and say, okay, well, I'm going to check in against this work item, and that would associate the change set to the work item, and give you the traceability that says this is the code that was changed for this particular task. But now what I can do is I can go in and add the work item before I start the work. So let's take a look at that. Let me show you what I mean. So here's the my work state, right? So I came in here, I said my work, and I've just closed everything up so we can kind of simplify it. We've already talked about code reviews and requests, right? These are all the ingoing and outgoing code reviews that we have working in our system right now. So all the code reviews that I've requested and all the ones that are requested of me. I've also got available work items. So these are all the work items that fit the to-do query. So what I can do is I can create a query that says, you know, show me everything that's to-do, or everything that's in progress, or everything that's active, and I want to see it in this list. So it could be, you know, any tasks or bugs or requirements or whatever you want to see. So you create your own query in the My Queries. It'll show up in this drop-down list. You pick from it, and then you can filter and select the queries, or sorry, the work items that you want to work on. When it comes time to work on them, here I've got my, this is my in-progress work and changes. So this is what I've been working on. So if I wanted to work on, you know, one of these work items here, I could just take it and drag it right up into there and say, all right, I'm working on that now. So that'll change the state of the task for me and set it up ready for me to work on. Now I could, you know, I'm ready to work on it. I can go over to my Source Control Explorer, and you know, maybe I'm going to check something out and start working on it. So let's just check out my history.cs. Not a lot in there. Let's go into this one here. We'll do something just so that we see the change. So now, whenever I go to my work, it's going to show me the work item that I selected and the edits that I've made so far. So I can click on that and say view changes, and that jumps me over to my pending changes. Now pending changes is quite a bit different than it was before. I'm still not sure how I feel about it. I think I'm going to miss the old pending changes window because I use it a lot, but we'll see as we get using it. So we'll notice that I've got changes that I've included, which is this program.cs, and then I've got some other changes that I made that are actually for a Git history production branch. So I've created a branch and I haven't checked that in yet, so I don't want to include those in this segment of work. So it's just this change that I've got right here. Here's the related work item that I've got. So anytime that I come into pending changes, see, if I, you know, I got there by going to my work and then saying view changes, but I could have also just gone into pending changes. And now, at any point in time right now, I could say, added a comment for work item 24. Right? We could check that in. And there we go. So change set 70 is successfully checked in. Now, I can go and take a look at actually, this is kind of interesting. If I go to the change set itself, so this is how you view a change set now. You remember there used to be a dialog or a modal dialog that showed you the information that was in a change set, but now it's part of the Team Explorer. And some interesting things that I can do in here, though, I can actually track changes in here. If I've got multiple branches and I want to see if this change set has made it into, you know, version 2 of the product, maybe the change was made in version 1. Or I can roll it back, so built right into the UI now, not just as part of a power tool or an extra piece that you had to download. You can roll back a change set now. So when you're looking at the change set, and even, you know, if I come over to Git History and say View History and pick one of these change sets, here it is showing up in my Team Explorer. It shows me here I have two changes. I deleted this file and I checked in a change to that file. So it's a bit of a different way of looking at things, and you can see how the Team Explorer is really, you know, changing and moving around and being a lot more than it was before. So let's jump back over to my work for a second. So I'm looking at my work. Let's take something else to work on, and so here's the next piece that I want to work on. I'll just get rid of my history and my Explorer, and maybe I'll just jump out into, let's go back to home, And I'll jump into my Source Control Explorer and just check out that file one more time so that I can make a change to it, so that I've got something that I'm working on. This is some well-documented code, don't you think? So we'll just save that. Great. So now I'm just back in a state where I've actually got something going on, right? I've got a change that I've made. Just click on my work again. Wait for that to open up. So now I've got my work item that I'm working on, and I've got my my code change that I've made. Now, the next thing that we want to take a look at is shelf sets. So let's take a look at suspending work and shelf sets for a minute. Some very interesting changes to shelving have occurred in 2012. Two of those are, one, you can now merge shelf sets in. So I'm not really going to show you this, but for those that didn't know previously, if I shelved something and I wanted to bring it back into the main set of code, or if I wanted to unshelf something into my local changes, or if it was a build server and I was doing a gated build, it would merge, or it would take the shell, it would take all the code from the repository and bring it down to the build server, and then just copy the shelf set over top. Same with if I had local code that I was working on and I wanted to bring down a shelf set, it would copy that over top. So there was always a risk that you were going to copy something and lose a change that you had in that base of code. So now there's a full merge done when a shelf set is brought in. So that's a great feature. The other thing is that you can really easily now just switch a shelf set. So let's take a look at shelf sets and how they behave now. So if I made a change to my code like I did just a minute ago, and I said I wanted to shelve this pending change, I'd go to shelving, and I don't get my dialog like before. I get my Team Explorer, and of course I still have the options to preserve a pending change locally, or to evaluate policies and notes after or before shelving. So I can choose to do those. I have to put in my shelf set name, of course. So let's just call this Dave Backup, because I make one of these every night before I go home. I can put in a comment like before. So if I was to create a shelf set and I was going to do a private build and I wanted the private build to automatically check in after, then it would already have the comment and everything else about it. You'll notice that I've got my work item selected, because that's the work item that I was working on. So because my work said that I'm working on this work item, and I've got and these are the code changes for program.cs, then that's what I'm going to add to my shelf set. So it's going to take the work item with it. Adding a comment again, so we'll just say that. So I can go ahead and shelf this just like the idea of getting it in, or what happens to it when I shelve it, is the same as before. It's going to a spot in the database. It's not part of the main repository, and I can go and pull that shelf set back out and look at it. Now I'm going to go back to my home, and I'm going to go into my work, and let's just take a look at suspended and shelved work. So if we look in here, let's just close up these guys for a second. If I go into my suspended and shelved work, I can see that last week I shelved something. Look into selection. Let's just refresh. Let's see if our other one shows up. And it's not, so we'll look at that in a minute. So this is something that I shelved previously, a while ago. And I can select this, and I can say that I want to merge it with my in-progress work. So what that's going to do is take the shelf set and bring it into, merge it with my local changes that I've got so far. So it's really just like unshelving, except that it's not a copy, it's an actual merge. The really cool feature though is the switch. So let's say somebody sends me a code review, or for whatever reason there's something out in a shell set and they say, can you take a look at this, but I've got work that I'm working on, I'm not ready to check in or do anything with it yet, I can just switch that out. So I can hit switch, and it'll take my local changes and make them a shell set, and take the shelf set and make it my local changes, and it just flips it out, and it flips over the work item for my work, and other than I'm not sure what happened there, does a really nice job of it. Probably because I've got that other shelf set pending, I'm not really sure. Yeah, I think we've got it now. So see, I've got right now my current work is movie selected, but screen went white, and I've got some changes that I've started working on for that particular task. I've got another one look into selection event in the carousel, and so you know maybe there's a bit of a bug there that I should be working on, and I've got some changes that have been shelved for that somebody's worked on and asked me to do something with. So I'm going to just hit my switch, and it should take what's in my shelf set and make it my work in progress, and it took what was my work in progress and made it my shelf set. So you can see it just did that there and did the flip between the two very nicely. Let's take a really quick look at check-in policies and the extra metadata that I can check in or add to a check-in. So if I go to my settings and I go to source control, I've got properties I can get at my check-in policies, right? So I can add in a check-in policy for work items that just says, hey, you can't check in without associating to a work item. Because we haven't really seen how that's implemented here yet. And I've also got check-in notes, right? That extra metadata that I can sort of add to a check-in about, you know, who the reviewer is, or, you know, just deployment notes about this chunk of code, you know, whatever it happens to be. So if I go back over to my pending changes, you'll notice right away I've got a code change, but I don't have any work items set to it yet, right? I haven't gone to my work and dragged my work item up into it. So right away it says that I must associate the check-in with one or more items. So right away it's giving me that policy setting. So if I go over to my work and look at the available work items and just drag that guy in there, now if I go over to my pending changes, we should be okay, right? It's not giving me that warning anymore. And if you notice down here, see that where it says notes? So there's my reviewer. So this is that extra information that I can put in about the reviewer for this code. And that's where those have gone, in case you were wondering where you would find those. Let's just jump away for a minute from the Team Explorer and take a look at the web interface. Actually, if we go back to home on the Team Explorer, you'll see there's a web access link right on the main page of that. And if we jump into there, the reason I'm showing you this is because it's kind of an extension of the Team Explorer. The Team Explorer does, you know, a lot of the things that it did before have kind of moved up into the web interface, and they've just done a really, really nice job of making the web interface a very useful tool for teams. So we'll just give this a second to open up. There we go. So you'll see that I'm on my Silver Cinema web interface, and I've got some tabs across the top there: home, work, source, build. So, you know, similar to the kinds of tabs that I got in the old web interface, I can look at builds, I can launch builds, I can look at source code. Pretty much the same kind of features that you had before with a lot nicer interface. You still can't check in and out from the source code on the web interface. I'm not really worried about that. I've never had a need to do so. So I'm going to leave those out for a minute and just take a look at some of this newer stuff. So right here on this main page, you know, I've got a quick link to be able to create a product backlog item. And the reason I've got a work item called that is because I'm in the new Scrum template. By the way, TFS 2012 comes with three process templates now, CMMI 6.0, Agile 6.0, and Scrum 2.0. They all come out of the box. So this is a Scrum project, so I've got product backlog items, and I've got tasks, and I've got bugs, and then here's my, this more button just sort of gives me the rest, my impediments and my test cases. And I can pick what are my favorite things, or what do I create the most often, and just put them up here. I get a little burn down chart for my project, and you know, some of the backlog items that are being worked on right now. So I've got four not started and one in progress for this sprint. It tells me that I'm in sprint two, and these are the dates of the, between when that sprint started and when it finishes. I can see some other, you know, kind of charts of information, like, you know, how much work in progress is there? What's the sprint backlog look like? And I can drag and edit this and add as many things as I want in here to give me sort of a really quick overview of the project. I'm going to actually jump into the backlog. I'm going to view the product backlog here. So here's my product backlog. Here's all the product backlog items that I can work on. And you know, to create a new one here, it's as easy as this. You know, you'll notice I've already got to wash my car. So let's add in a Clean my house. If I could just put these in, it'd be great. So I'm going to create myself a product backlog item that I can that needs to be done down the road, and you know, then I can open this up and I can add more information. Of course, I'm going to have to put in a, you know, an effort and a business value and the backlog priority, and I'm going to assign it to someone, and you know, all the information that I need to. But to get one in, it's just that easy. Just type in the title and go. And then also, if I wanted to say, well, you know what, tentatively, I think this is going to show up somewhere around Sprint 5. So I'm going to drag it over into Sprint 5. And you'll see that it shows up now under that sprint. So this is my full product backlog. I've got some new items in here that haven't been approved yet, and I've got some that have been approved. And if I jump over to Sprint 2, it's going to show me what's going on right now, because this is the current sprint. Just look at the information on here. I've got all my product backlog items, and I've got the tasks that are underneath them that are going to implement those items. I've also know the capacity of my team. So over here, I can put in everyone that's on my team and how much they are working per day. So I've got, you know, myself, who's doing development, and I'm doing 8 hours a day, and then I've got Deb Forsyth, who's doing the testing. We're a very small agile team, and but she tests for about 10 hours a day, so she works a little harder than I do. And then based on that information, you know, I've got my the work that the team has done so far and what's left to be done, the work by activity, work by person on the team. And if we move across here, so I can go out and look at future sprints as well and see how they're planning out and how they're coming along, and you know, what's going on with them, and if we added tasks to them yet, do we know what we're doing. If we jump over here to the board, though, we can see the current sprint. So we're in Sprint 2, and here's my task board. Let me just make this a little bit smaller so you can see a little bit more of it. So here are all my tasks that are to do. Here are the ones in progress. You know, we're getting towards the end of this sprint. There's only a couple of days left in the sprint, so it makes sense that a lot of these things are done. There's just a couple of things left to be worked on. You know, if I click on that, I can open up the task and take a look at it. If I click over here, I can open up the product backlog item and take a look at that. And you'll see it's showing me not only product backlog items, but it's also showing me bugs in here as well. So they're showing up in my task board too. So I can look at this by product backlog item and see the tasks that are being completed and what state they're in and how much time is left to work on them. But I can also look at that by team member. So I can see who has what assigned to them. And you know, I can see that, you know, Deb's finished all her stuff. She's probably just waiting for me to do these two so she can test them. And as soon as I get those done, I'll hand them over, and then, you know, I should be done those today, and then she'll have a couple of days to test them, and then we'll be done the sprint, and on we go. And then we've got our work items tab, which gives us a web interface to be able to access work items and you know, run queries and add queries and, you know, all the kind of stuff that you'd want to do if you didn't have Team Explorer installed. So for those people on the team that don't have Team Explorer, they can create their work item queries right here in the web interface very easily, and see the task board and see the backlog, the product backlog items. It's just a great addition to the product, the new web interface. Well, that's it for me. I hope that you learned something new, or at least gave you a little bit of a kickstart into the Team Explorer. Some next steps for you: download Visual Studio 2012 release candidate, install it, and get playing with it. I was actually connected. The server, the Team Foundation server I was connected to, was TFS Preview, which is a cloud version of TFS, which is coming new in 2012. You might know somebody with an extra key for that. You can get a free connection to it and try that out. Go to techdays.ca. There's hands-on labs. There's presentations. Read blogs. Two of my favorite blogs to read when I want to find out what's coming up or what's going on with Team Foundation Server is Brian Harry's blog, and the Visual Studio ALM and TFS blog is also a good one. So everybody, have a great day, and I hope you enjoyed this little Tech Days TV session.